Welcome to the Point Forward podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
Hello and welcome to an abbreviated edition, but nonetheless an edition of the Point Forward podcast. My name is J.R. Radcliffe. We're talking Milwaukee Bucks with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter Jim Ozarski. As always, the Milwaukee Bucks are down bad. They've lost a bunch of games here on this very difficult road trip. Injuries. New coach Doc Rivers is 1-5, so I suppose we could be panicking. No one's I think quite there yet, but it's been a struggle. The All-Star game, the All-Star break right around the corner. They also have a new addition to the team that we're going to be talking about first and foremost. The trade deadline has come and gone. Patrick Beverley has been acquired, traded from the Philadelphia 76ers in exchange for Cameron Payne. Payne was very briefly a Milwaukee Buck. He was signed kind of late in the offseason and added into the mix. It doesn't seem like anybody feels like that's a big loss because he was coming off the bench. I don't know if he was necessarily a perfect fit for what was going on here. Meanwhile, Patrick Beverley brings his defensive intensity that the Bucks have been missing. So, Jim, we'll start with Patrick Beverley, of course. He is an agent of chaos. He's been on a lot of teams. He's a talkative guy. has made it difficult on stars in the past. He's worked with Doc Rivers. It does seem like a really good fit. What is your thought here, though?
Yeah, I mean, look, the Bucks were going to be limited with what they could do. Not that John Horst didn't try to, you know, do John Horst things and make a big splash. But Patrick Beverley, JR, just fills a need. You know, since Javon Carter, Wesley Matthews left in free agency, Jrue Holiday was traded, this team just didn't have a guard, you know, who could really defend at a high level. Malik Beasley and Damian Lillard, campaign when he played, have tried. I don't think anyone can say otherwise, but it's just that's not what those guys do. Defense is what Patrick Beverley does. And as Doc Rivers said, you know, he kind of was like, oh, you know, kind of an instigator. You know, that sort of edgy type defender as well. You know, I think inevitably, JR, we're going to get PJ Tucker comparisons.
Absolutely.
Which you know, PJ's been mythologized for, you know, his role in the championship run, but I think Patrick actually will have a bigger impact. I mean, it's easy to forget PJ only played 12 games.
I was just going to look up. I couldn't remember how many regular season games that guy had played. It was like
nothing. He only played 12, and he didn't play against Miami and didn't really play against Brooklyn until game 3, and then we never really saw him again after Brooklyn. You know what I mean? Like, but PJ had that personality. He had that it wasn't sort of like that wasted energy. I don't want to call it that. Like PJ worked really hard defensively, but I think Patrick is going to be able to give them more, you know, regular season games, playoff games, and particularly gives Doc Rivers some options late in games. You know, Beverley is by trade a point guard. He's only 6'2". You know, he's not as big as Wesley Matthews. But he could pair with Dame, and then you can, you know, maybe have Jay Crowder next to Giannis if you want. So, like, it kind of gives them a little some defensive fortification top or front to back, you know, with Brook Lopez at the rim. So, yeah, offensively, he averaged double digits in points many years ago when he was playing a lot of minutes. I really wouldn't expect a whole lot there. It is to bring that sort of edge and as well as physical presence defensively.
Bucks gave up a draft pick in that exchange, and they once again, not that that was a huge loss, they have famously burned all their draft capital to the ground as they have tried to build championship teams over the past few years. And it's just sort of occurred to me coming into this trade deadline even you can hear the clock ticking on the Milwaukee Bucks. I feel like time is running out. I think. You could even maybe smell a whiff of desperation. There's a midseason coaching change this season. Stars are they're struggling to stay healthy. I mean, Chris Middleton now, another injury question, which we'll talk about. You know, Damian Lillard, I think, you know, the injury notwithstanding, hasn't been everything they maybe thought he could be at this point, and some of that is the new coach and all that. But it's starting to feel a little desperate, and maybe that's a fan point of view. Maybe that's not how the team is looking at it. Maybe they feel that they are still well situated to continue success, but they have no new players coming in here, and
I
no
think
money.
It's fair, JR. I honestly do. Like, yeah, you're 30-13 when you fire the head coach. And the whole point of that was like, well, we don't think that guy's going to get us to where we want to go this year. This wasn't a, we don't think we're going to get to where we want to go 2 years from now, 3 years from now. Like, yeah, you mentioned the draft pick. That was probably a tax. JR, like, Daryl Morey's like, all right, John, well, if Patrick Beverly's going to help you beat us in the first round, like, you got to give us more than campaign.
Yeah.
Like, so you're right. Like, they own, as of this recording, they own one draft pick in the next that they control over the next 7 years.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even do the math on that. That's ridiculous.
And that draft pick is next year's second round pick via Portland. They don't own, they don't control any of their own until they don't, they can't do any of their first till 2031. So that's, I mean, John's got, you know, options, I guess, around draft time, and this team's going to look a lot different, but that's for them. I mean, for now, like, they made the trade for Dame. Like, is Dame going to want to stay here for the next 4 years, JR? I don't know. We don't know. So, like, that's part of this, too, where
I wouldn't put my money on it, Jim, that he would want to stay for the next 4 years.
Like, that's, you know, Damian wanted out of Portland. This is not where he wanted to be initially. I'll have something coming up. I checked in with him sort of on his, like, status, if you will.
Mm.
But, yeah, I think it's fair to say, like, we've heard Packers all in, right? Brewers, why can't they go all in? I think if there was a definition of all in sport, Wisconsin sports share, like John Horst, like smiling face would be right there. I wouldn't say it's so far a stretch to say there's a little bit of, let's like do whatever we can to try to get back to a finals this year.
Right. When you're kicking the can down the road in the NFL, it has to do with salaries and, you know, that still becomes paperwork. Like, it's still doable to get through that, and you are still going to get a healthy influx of talent from the draft. And if you draft well, you can still be good, even if your salary cap is maxed out. When it's the NBA, you're sacrificing that draft capital, and you're stuck financially, which leads me to the next thing I want to talk about, and that's the trade of Robin Lopez, which on the surface is not going to be something people are going to care deeply about, other than tremendous content to have Robin Lopez sitting courtside one game after being traded and subsequently waived, reading a book throughout the game, a game that most Bucks fans wish they were reading a book during as well, a lopsided over by the third quarter loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Great stuff. Robin Lopez, tremendous character. Probably not somebody you wanted to use a roster spot on, but now they actually have one less roster spot. And I think that all ties into this tax apron, and it gets so wonky when you try to explain it or understand it. I have struggled with this, Jim, the tax aprons and what it's blocking them specifically from doing. And you know, the long story short is it is blocking them from using certain roster exemptions that will better help you deal with the cap that you no longer have access to. So that knocks down the possibility that, okay, they don't need draft capital because they're just going to keep building with trades and or not trades, but free agent signings. You know, once things loosen up at the top of the cap, they'll have money to do that, but they're going to be, some of those options are going to be taken away from them. So can you give me a sense, me who does not understand anything, exactly what it is that deal was meant to do, and what they're facing with this second tax apron, what they are prevented from doing this year, next year, and going forward?
Yeah, so very quickly, people who are amateur capologists were very excited because they thought Robin going out meant they were under the second apron. That is not true. Chris Middleton has bonuses that do count. He may or may not get them, but as of now, they do need to be counted as if he will. He's well on his way to making at least over $2 million of those bonuses. So they're not under the apron, and they're likely going to try to get a buyout player. So that's totally a moot point for that. Really, the only restriction right now, JR, is not an apron issue. It's a taxpayer issue. They are a repeater tax team. So therefore, any buyout player, so if you're listening to this, watching this, and you want to know who can the Bucks hit, okay, $12.4 million is the cutoff. If that player was making 12.4 or less, the Bucks can sign him for a minimum deal. If he's 12.4 or greater, they cannot sign him. So pretty simple. PJ Tucker, if he were to take a buyout, would be able to be signing because he's making like $11 million.
Spencer Dinwiddie, 11.7, just so you know, was making this year. So Spencer Dinwiddie's in the news.
But there are going to be players who are waived and bought out that make more that won't suit. So that's the only restriction now. And actually, they actually sent the Sacramento Kings cash to take Robin Lopez. This is the last year that the Bucks will be able to do that. Those are future restrictions on, if they are a second apron team, which it looks like they will be. They aggregated Drew Holiday, Grayson Allen to get Dame. They will not be able to do that next year.
What does that mean when you're aggregating? Obviously, putting salaries together, get what aggregate means, but can you explain that quickly?
Yeah, it's multiple players. So, the money always has to match to a degree in the NBA. They give you a little bit of wiggle room. It's not quite dollar for dollar. That's why usually you'll see two players, three players for one.
So if you make a future trade, you can't do more than one player. It's got to be a player and draft capital or whatever else to make the money work or cash. Yeah.
Okay. So going forward for Bucks fans who are in love with the trade machine, if you want to trade Pat Connaughton, you will have to find one player who makes the same amount of money, and that's it.
Good luck.
One for one. No money coming. There's no extra monies that they could play with. You can't trade Pat and Bobby for whoever. It's one for one going forward. So, yeah, this was the big swing year for John. And now, look, this is as we say this, we can see perhaps he decides to break up the core even more, trade other players around draft time. We'll see. But as of now, that's sort of what this means. And the fact they only control one draft pick, which is a second rounder, over the next 8 years. This is kind of the team. This is it. And they're obviously banking on them getting healthier and then it working under Doc Rivers, which we have seen improvement in this team despite the 2-6 record or 3-6 record since Adrian Griffin was fired.
So if trading Robin Lopez doesn't help them get under the second apron, why make that trade? Obviously, you open up a roster spot for a potential buyout, but like you could have cut him and opened up that spot, or does that not work because then the salary still counts? The salary still counts.
Yeah, they would have been on the hook for his entire minimum if waived him. So that's why you're sort of, again, as you give the second rounder to Daryl Morey as sort of a playoff tax for Pat Bev, you're giving cash to the Kings because they're the ones now who are sort of acting as your salary cap dumper.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are going to absorb Robin Lopez's $2.9 or whatever $1 million. And so the Bucks just write a check. Whereas,
why would the Kings do that?
I mean, you could do that if you have salary cap room and no interest in that spot.
Sure.
Some teams have salary, like the Oklahoma City Thunder and the San Antonio Spurs, Detroit Pistons had some salary cap flexibility. So that made them attractive trade partners because they could sort of take up a contract and then waive it and not really face any issues with that. So yeah, that it does open up that roster spot for a buyout player that I'm guessing they will target.
Why, just real quickly, why was Robin Lopez here? Like, we talked about it before. It didn't seem like a great fit. Obviously, you've got the, brotherly thing. The Bucks have been willing to give a spot to Thanasis for Giannis. I mean, Robin is a seemingly awesome dude. We saw Robin start some games with Brooke out this week while he had, for personal reasons. And why was he here? I don't understand why they signed Robin Lopez in the first place, Jim.
That's a John Horse question, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they liked him. He was, on the bubble team, which obviously was very successful. I think since Brooke Lopez's back surgery, I mean, this goes back to the Serge Ibaka deal, when they didn't know if Lopez would come back at all. Mm-hmm. I think they've wanted a fourth big man as that sort of insurance policy. And, obviously Giannis has been healthy. Brooke Lopez has been healthy. Now they're at a point where, okay, three big men is what we're going to rock with. I don't know. I mean, maybe the buyout player is going to be a fourth big, But that's to me, JR, that's why it's a player who is really, really insurance for insurance, and really 14th, 15th men, or in the Bucks case, 13th, 14th, 15th are players who just don't play. I mean, yeah, that's good most point. Rosters.
Sure, absolutely. And in fact, in trade deadline day, you learn about these players that, oh, yeah, I remember them from college. Oh, they're in the NBA. Interesting. They've been in the NBA for years, as it turns out. You know, you learn a lot on trade deadline day when you know, the dust picks up and all these names are changing teams. So what we saw from the trade deadline, the New York Knicks are getting a lot of credit for making their team quite a bit better, and they are a team right now tied with the Bucks in the standings in the Eastern Conference. Cleveland has filtered ahead of the Bucks temporarily. The distance between the number one seed Celtics and Bucks is growing pretty big at this point. I know they don't care where they fall when it comes to the postseason. I don't even know if they care that they get a top four spot. This has been a tough stretch of the schedule, like we said, and the injuries are what they are. So, like, I don't think losing 5 out of 6 on the surface is even really that a cause for alarm. But things are slipping, and you wonder. I wonder, you know, like where the alarm bell should be. Is this code yellow, code orange, code red? Like the Bucks have tried a lot of stuff, right? And it has not started to gel. Guys have not stayed healthy, and we are getting to the point where, you know, we remember this from last year where they just didn't have their group of guys in time to be ready for the postseason. And I'm wondering if we're going to be in that space too. Chris Middleton's injury is the latest wild card there. So what do you tell people when they come to you panicking, like, the Bucks are bad, Jim, I'm so worried. What do you tell those people? Like me, of course.
I mean, they're not bad.
Well, no, of course not. They're top four team in the East after all of this.
Yeah, they're going to tumble to the 4 seed here. I mean, the Knicks are on a heater. Mm-hmm. They are a better team than they were, you know, when the Bucks beat them a couple times in the in-season tournament and late December. But look, Philadelphia, Joel Embiid's out. Philly's in a tailspin. They've lost 7 of 8. They clearly have decided that, you know, Joel is probably done. And I think they started shedding players. Yes. So, you know, but yeah, the Bucks are 33-19, tie, if you will, with the Knicks. But yeah, they're already 3 games behind the Cavs for the 2 seed right now, 7 behind the Celtics. Yeah, I think by the All-Star break, JR, it's a good chance they'll be the 4 seed. But I don't think they're really concerned about that. I think what they are focused on is the fact that they are now up to 20th in the league in defensive rating, which is points allowed per 100 possessions. It's generally widely accepted as a better gauge of defense than sort of points per game allowed. And 20th is not great. This team was usually 1, 2, or 3 under Mike Budenholzer. But they were up as low as 26, 27 with Adrian Griffin. So they've actually had a rating that has been dead middle of the league since Doc Rivers took over. 115 points per 100 possessions. Is that great? No. But, JR, as we talked about all at the beginning of the year, if this defense could get to top half, their offense is going to be good enough. And that's what they've done. Short sample size, you know, 6 games. But they've been 15th. And, okay, the Timberwolves game notwithstanding, I think
that was a rough one.
There was a lot going on there in terms of why they look the way they look.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of it being Minnesota's the best team in the West. But they had no business having a chance to beat the Phoenix Suns at the end of that road trip, JR. And it was very vintage Mike Budenholzer Bucks in that they were making life extremely difficult for Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. And still had a chance to win that game on the road against superstars like that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when their trip started in Denver, Doc Rivers' first game, very tough place to play. This team's defense that we had seen all year, you're like, there's no way. This is going to be a 20-point blowout. Every chance to win that game. Because they were getting stops. And JR, up until this last week, if you were to say, Jim, can the Bucks string together 3 stops to win a game? And I would have said no.
No.
And yeah, like they can do that now. Like they've done it in the last week. And so I think so that's changing. Honestly, JR, this might irritate some fans, but it's I think a true thing. they're actually trying hard on defense for all 48 minutes, and that's taking a little bit out of them in terms of their wind and their how, like their late game legs. And I know fans might say, oh my God, why don't you try hard? Well, I don't. I mean, that was the whole reason Adrian Griffin was fired. You know, that story I wrote, you know, as to why, and then why you hired Doc. Like, they weren't really believing in Griff, so they were just sort of, you know, relaxing a little bit on defense. Bucks fans listening to this know exactly what I'm talking about. And then they would go and win the game on offense. So that's changing. And now, let alone the health, right? Like, Chris, here's some good news for Bucks fans. Talked to Chris yesterday. He is not in the walking boot. He was walking without a limp. The walking boot was purely precautionary in Phoenix. That was just the equipment they had on hand. So they just put him in it to make sure, hey, precaution, super safe. Great. But he was, I mean, he had no, like, accoutrement on that ankle. Ooh, walking out of Pfizer, which is really good news for him and the Bucks. Lillard, yes, threw a dunk down on Walker Kessler in Utah, limping pretty badly. Probably a good idea to make sure that that guy is healthy as well. So I think now, JR, the injury bug has come around. They've been healthy for like 40 games, 38 games. And now it's their turn. So I think the combination of all of that, plus a hot Knicks and Cavs team, you're going to see them fall. Philly's on their way out. Really, it's just going to be a matter of, you know, getting themselves right and then seeing if they can then catch the Knicks or the Cavs for that third seed. Cause I don't think you want to be a four. Cause that's only one home playoff series. I mean, they've done that, right? Was that the championship year, JR?
Yeah, they were a three, but it's the same principle, three or four. You only are guaranteed one.
Like, home. I think you want to be a little further up. You don't want to run through the entire gauntlet, right? You know, as a middle seed, but that's for future Bucks problems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very difficult to explain to someone on the outside why 30-13 wasn't good enough and why losing 5 of 6 is not really actually cause for alarm. You're seeing what you're talking about is true. You're seeing signs, and it's a big if, but if everybody is healthy, you presume that if the defense, like you said, is middle of the ground, they have this explosive offense when everybody's healthy. I mean, we've seen how good Chris Middleton has been when healthy this year. Damian Lillard is still, like, maybe not 100%, but you see the flashes of who he is. And then, you know, if he gets to that point, I wouldn't want to face them in a second or first or second round playoff series at all. And I would absolutely still pick the Bucks to beat the Cavaliers or the Knicks. I don't know about Boston. I feel like the gulf has grown pretty wide. Boston has really asserted themselves as kind of the team to beat. And I don't know, Jim. I don't know if I see Patrick Beverley or any changes or improvements forthcoming being enough to overcome that. But I guess in a 7-game series, it doesn't really matter who's better. It matters who wins 4 games. So,
I mean, we'll see. And I think broadly speaking, JR, like the top teams, Cleveland and New York are bigger issues for the Bucks than the Celtics. But that's
interesting.
Just my, yeah.
I love it. It's just a good hot take.
Yeah. I think the way that the Celtics play and the matchups, and actually it's more the way the Cavs and the Knicks play.
Yeah.
that give the Bucks problems. Look, the Cavs have given the Bucks problems for 2 years now.
Absolutely. For more than that. Well, maybe just two, but yeah.
And so is Indiana. So there's certain teams that just doesn't fit right with the Bucks in terms of what they like to do. But again, we haven't seen the Doc Rivers Bucks play those teams either. Right. So, you know, that's the other thing we'll have to see, you know, come springtime.
Yeah, I think if there's a big concern, it's you're seeing Giannis Antetokounmpo play at just an unbelievable level, just elite, bringing it every night, dominating, and they're still losing games, and they're still losing a few of them kind of handily. So I think that's probably concerning, even though everything we just discussed is all baked into that. We are going to see Giannis probably between now and the next podcast at the All-Star game. He's the top vote-getter this year for the Eastern Conference. He and Damian Lillard will be starting. Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley will be in the three-point contest. Doc Rivers against all odds. Is he going to be 1-7 this season, or 1-8 or 2-8, 2-7 coaching the All-Star team? That's wild. But he's going to be there. There's Tristan Jass, who's a content creator on YouTube, who's from Kenosha. He'll be in the Celebrity All-Star game. We got Wisconsin connections all over the place. Is there one thing you're going to watch, you're really looking forward to? Malik Beasley's been cold lately, but I still have a feeling about him in that three-point competition. But what's coming up from All-Star Weekend that you are most fascinated to watch?
I mean, I like the going back to the old-school East-West format.
Me too, man.
you know, they're still trying to tweak that. I think the fact that Lillard's a defending three-point champ, Beasley really wants to be there, really wanted to be there. And the fact that – now, look, I don't know if the NBA should be messing around with glass courts, but they are going to have a glass court with, like, videos playing while these guys are shooting threes or whatever. At Lucas Oil Stadium, I've only been in there for football games, so I am curious to watch that as well as you know, the dunk competition. I know people get, you know, they feel a certain way about it at this point, but, you know, being there live, JR, like, it's, they're still incredible feats of athleticism. So I do like the skills day, I guess, better than the All-Star game itself, because that's just like, that's not a pickup. Like, pickup games are more competitive than that. So, you know, and Giannis and Dame are on the same team, so you're not going to have that scenario like in Cleveland where Giannis had the chase down block of Chris Middleton, you know, because Giannis always plays hard. But, yeah, obviously, yeah, a lot of Wisconsin ties. Tyrese Halliburton, I would imagine, is sort of the odds-on favorite to win MVP in his own building. I'm guessing he will try for that, and his teammates, you know, might try to help him get that. So, yeah, definitely Brandon Podziemski in the Rising Stars.
Oh, forgot about him. Alonis Williams
in the Rising Stars.
Let's go, Wisconsin.
So, yeah, so I think just, you know, Wisconsin basketball, as we've known JR for several years now, has pumped out a ton of NBA players. And, again, you know, All-Star Weekend's a good way to showcase that beyond even just the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, especially with Halliburton. I cannot imagine there has been a more Wisconsin NBA All-Star game, you know, where the Bucks are that represented, the state of Wisconsin is that represented. That's just a very unusual thing. What a time for Indianapolis. They've got the All-Star game. They'll have the Combine later that month. I think we'll both be inside Lucas Oil Stadium at some point in February, because I think I'll be helping with the Combine. They're hosting a first round NCAA tournament games this year in March.
So right.
I think that's at Gainbridge, but they definitely, they're, what a time, Indianapolis, Indiana. Look, here's looking at you. Jim, I think that's all we've got here. We're, again, going to keep it a little bit short this time around. Any other thoughts that you have about this Milwaukee Bucks team, knowing that we probably won't talk here for a couple weeks?
I think it's sort of put a pin in this, JR, because the defense was the focus. that had to get turned the right way as quickly as possible. That has happened. Sort of ancillary to that is Doc wanting to get the Dame Giannis pairing working more smoothly on offense. And it's kind of crazy to think one of the highest scoring offenses in the league history, by far in franchise history, it looked clunky at times. And they weren't really smoothing it out. And Dame, this will be coming up at jsonline.com, probably over the break. It's sort of like an advance on the second half, JR, is, you know, what Doc is trying to do to get Dame a little more comfortable offensively, which is, again, kind of crazy to say at 25.7 assists, all-star starter, everything, like, numbers-wise looks okay, but as you alluded to in this podcast and before, Dame hasn't looked like the guy everyone thought he would be, and he knows that. And so I think Doc Rivers is trying to address it. So put a pin in that if you're a Bucks fan for down the line. Look for that, jsonline.com, in, you know, the next week or so. But that, I think, is going to be – not that the defense is fixed, JR, but I feel like that's going in a certain way. So – what's next? I think that's the next part for this Bucks team.
If you're looking for a good Valentine's Day gift, how about a subscription to the Journal Sentinel, jsonline.com/deal. You can get everything Jim Ozarski has coming up that he mentioned, plus all kinds of coverage of the Bucks, the Packers, the Badgers, the Brewers, all of it. We're getting close to spring training. The maybe me at the NFL Combine. You'll probably have some of that as well. And lots to, including a story about Robin Lopez reading a book, which outperformed all of our game coverage, because that's just how it is. But that's all available for you at jsonline.com. Thank you for tuning into this edition of the Point Forward Podcast. For Jim Ozarski, I'm JR Radcliffe. Thanks again. We'll talk to you again very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward Podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.